When you are in God's presence, spending time with Him, does He speak back to you?
Did Jesus' death do away with the law of Moses and usher in a new era where we no longer need to keep the commandments?
I'm glad God speaks to us through His Word. Let's go ahead and dig in. I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Crystal Lewis. Bible Help Desk starts now. Welcome to Bible Help Desk. Ruben, I don't know about you, but it's so good to be here to tackle some questions and answers that we know we have in our hearts.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you're here as well as we tackle these questions. And we hope those questions keep coming in from our viewers, because if they don't, then how are we going to read God's, go into God's Word to answer those questions? And we probably wouldn't have Bible Help Desk either.
That's right. I agree. So we also want to encourage you to keep those questions coming in. If you're watching and if you have a question you want an answer for, you can text us or call us at 833-BIBLE-HD or send it in via Facebook, Instagram, or on our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. And if possible, don't forget to leave us your email so we can contact you right back. So Ruben, who do we have with us today?
Joining us today is Pastor Andrea Jacobsons. She is a proud mother of a two-month-old, and she also is currently the lead pastor of Kettering Adventist Church in Kettering, Ohio. She has previously served as a Bible teacher in Michigan and a youth pastor in Maryland. Pastor Jacobson, thank you so much for joining us, especially with the busy schedule that you have.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Next, we have Dr. Tom Shepherd. Dr. Shepherd is a senior research professor of the New Testament at the seminary on the campus of Andrews University. He is also the pastor of two churches and has previously served with his wife, Sherry, as a missionary to Malawi and Brazil. They have two grown children and six grandchildren. Welcome here, Dr. Shepherd.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Before we dive into our questions, I want to open up God's Word in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." I love the imagery in this verse as we see God as a mighty warrior fighting for you. And as we pray to him, we can see that he truly looks over us and loves us. And everything that he does is to save us. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. As dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this time that we can come together, Lord, and open up your word. As we dive into these questions, may your Holy Spirit be here among us and that we may learn more about what you have in store for us. In your name I pray, amen. Well, Crystal, what is the first question we have?
The first question that we have, we received a text from Louise. And Louise said, "I would like to know, once you are in God's presence, spending time with him, how does he speak back to you?" And Pastor Jacobson, we want to bring you in on this question. What can we do when sometimes we do not feel like God's presence is with us?
Yes, I really like that question. And I think it's something that we all want if we want to have a relationship with God. We want to hear from him. In my life, I've had different experiences of hearing from God, such as through nature, where I just... it's not God speaking audibly to me, but for example, if I'm somewhere on a high mountain and I'm just, you know, experiencing the awe and the power of God up there, that in a way speaks to me. I've also had certain impressions that weren't a loud voice, but I knew that that was God speaking to me in a certain moment. But the majority of the time that I've heard God speak to me, it's been through the scriptures, whenever I'm reading the Bible, which shouldn't surprise us, because if really everything else was enough, God would not have given us the Word of God, right? But he wanted us to get to know him and to listen to him through scriptures. That's why we have it. And we have a lot of things that we can learn from it. But there are different passages all throughout that talk about how important the Word of God is and how God speaks to us, how it makes us wise, how it's a light to our path. There's, for example, 2 Timothy 3:16, where Timothy says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." In other words, for teaching, for us to learn, for reproof, which could also be translated as refuting of error. So it helps us to have discernment on what is right and what is wrong, for correction. Sometimes we have to realize that we're on the wrong path and it turns us around for instruction or training or discipline in righteousness. So it's just a different way of saying he's that light to our path. And that's how we learn about him, through spending time in scripture. There are times when people say, well, you know, you need to spend the time in studying math and sciences and then just read the Bible and you'll know what it's saying. And that is not true. I believe that in order for us to really truly hear from God, we have to take the time in it. That's really the most important ingredient on being able to hear from God. We have to take the time in reading and studying it and processing what it's saying in different places, learning the tools and how to interpret it. And then each time we're doing that, we're not just pulling out things that we think it's saying, that God is saying to us, but things that God is actually saying through his word, and that then we can apply to our lives. Like right now, because I'm a new mom, I listen to the Bible a lot. I love to journal, but I don't really have time for that. And so I will just, during feedings, or when I'm pumping milk, I will listen to the Bible. And even that, even, you know, just those moments that I'm putting into it, I hear God speaking to me through the different stories that I'm reading, because right now I'm reading through the Gospels or listening to the Gospels.
Wow.
And it's just amazing the different things that I can read the same passage and each time notice something different, right? Because it's perhaps the time in life that God is really saying, okay, this is what you need to pay attention to right now.
Thank you so much for that, Pastor Jacobson. That's an important, I don't know about you, Ruben. I feel like sometimes I feel like there's a lot of distractions going on,
yes,
and sometimes I lose track. So thank you so much for reminding us to go back to the scriptures so that we can feel like we are in God's presence. Thank
yes.
you so much for that. Dr. Shepherds, what are your thoughts on this when it comes to being in God's presence?
Well, I agree with Andrea about God speaking to us through his word. Isaiah 30, verse 21 also talks about the impression of the Holy Spirit. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, it wouldn't necessarily be an audible voice, but the impression of God's Spirit on you. And then there are times in Scripture where it talks about asking God for signs. Now, one of my favorite stories about this is in 1 Samuel 14, where Jonathan and his armor bearer are going out and they're going to fight the Philistines. And Jonathan says, if the Philistines tell us to come up to where they are, then we'll know that that's a sign from God that we're supposed to go. And of course, it's what the Philistines would almost naturally do, is say, come on up here, we'll show you something. And Jonathan is so ready to do the will of God that he's like, yes, that's it, let's go. And they have a great victory that day because of Jonathan's faith in God.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much for that, Dr. Shepherd. So, Ruben, what is our next question?
So our next question comes to us via text from Eardeen, and it says, a young preacher laid hands on a church member and prayed, saying he was transferring the anointing of his grandmother to her. His Christian grandmother died many years ago. Is this a valid practice? Wow. Well, Dr. Shepherd, I'm going to start with you, with someone who witnessed sort of this anointing, as this young pastor has said. Is this something that the Bible can verify, or what's going on here?
You know, we might have to know more about what they mean by anointing and transferring from the grandmother. The scriptures clearly teach that when we die, we sleep. We rest in the grave. Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6 says that the dead don't know anything. So the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no more reward for that. Their love, their hate, and their envy have now passed away. They have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So this is not the, you know, I don't know if this pastor was saying, you know, grandma's up there watching you and we're passing on the anointing. If that were the case, it would not follow what the scriptures say. The Bible does talk about anointings, and it does talk about us, the pastors, being given that authority to, how should we say, to pray for people and lay their hands on them. We do this in churches, asking God's blessing on them. But I don't know, it's like kind of an anointing from grandma to you. We'd have to really find out more about what they thought, but it's not something where the dead can speak to us.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Shepherd, thank you so much for putting us in that context of needing more information and not jumping to a conclusion on what they were saying, but pointing us in the direction of the Bible that we can pray over people. So thank you so much. Pastor Jacobson, is there anything else that we can add to this unique question of when it comes to anointing? And we just heard from Dr. Shepherd on praying over someone. What else can we add?
Yeah, I'm not sure I have a whole lot to add to that. I agree with Dr. Shepherd that really there needs to be more information to know what it is. I mean, there could also be anointing for service, where, I mean, we have examples of that in scripture as well. And, you know, for service for God, as you could be anointed through the prayer, laying on of hands for that kind of service for God. And even that, though, it's you can't really transfer that from person to person, but you could lay hands on someone and do an anointing for a person for service and saying that, okay, just like this person served God before, you know, this person wants to serve them as well. Kind of like my grandma was a pastor in the Czech Republic, and I could say, you know, I want to serve God the same way that she served God. Then I could see that as being, okay, you know, someone praying over me saying, you know, she would love to serve you, God, faithfully, just like her grandma did. Yeah. I could see that, but I don't know what specifically this is referring to, but I do not see, you know, something actually transferring from person to person as being a thing that we have any examples on in scripture.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that answer, Pastor Jacobson. And hopefully our viewer can dig a little bit more and ask a couple more questions so we can get some clarity. But this is a good start in understanding what the Bible says when it comes to anointing and praying over others. Thank you so much.
Our next question, we received a message from RJ from Facebook, and he asked, may I ask a question about Mark 7, verse 18 to 19? Does that mean the food division of Leviticus 11 is now abolished? Dr. Shepherd, we want to bring you in on this question. Can you bring some insight and share some thoughts with us about Mark 7, verse 18 to 19, please?
Sure. First, let's read those verses. Mark 7, verses 18 and 19 is in the midst of actually Jesus giving a discussion to his disciples about what defiles a person. So this in verse 18, he says, and he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. So it's that last little phrase, thus he declared all foods clean, that people take, and some people want to say, oh yeah, Jesus does away with the statements in Leviticus 11, which tell you there are certain foods you're not supposed to eat. The main one in the American diet anyways, these days, that and many places in the world that people still eat is pork, and the Bible excludes that. Now, to understand those two verses, you have to place it in context, the whole context of the passage. It starts at the beginning of chapter 7. And there's a Jesus and his disciples come to a gather together, and they notice that some of Jesus' disciples are not washing their hands before they eat. Now, this was not a question of hygiene. Don't go home and little kids, I could see little kids coming in and saying, the pastor told us we don't have to wash our hands before we eat, mommy. And that's not what it's about. This is a matter of ritual defilement. Now, what happened was after the Old Testament was written, there were some more rules that were added on, traditions of the elders that were added on. And these traditions included washing your hands in order to not pass on defilement, ritual defilement, from one thing or one person to another. When they tell Jesus about this in the beginning of Mark 7, he responds rather strongly and saying, you use your tradition to set aside the word of God. And then he talks about the fifth commandment about honoring your parents, and how they had made up rules that could make it so you didn't have to honor your parents, didn't have to take care of them when they were old. And so he says, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. Now that's in verse 8. So if this first section of this of this story. Jesus is defending Moses. Now, if in the second part of this story, which is from verses 14 to 23, if suddenly now he turns against Moses, that would be a little bit weird, a little strange. So actually what he's doing is setting aside their tradition of that touch defilement, that if you touch this and you had gotten in contact with, you know, Gentiles who are idolaters and they're defiled, and then you touched your food and then it would defile you. And so he said, no, that's not a principle from the Old Testament at all. You've set aside the word of God for your own rules. Now, people often focus on verse 18 and 19. Jesus declared all food clean. Look, you can eat all these foods and there's no problem at all. And they actually miss, we've said that's not what Jesus was saying, but they actually miss what Jesus really points at. And he says, it's not what goes into the person that defiles, you know, that you didn't wash the food correctly for ritual defilement. He says, it's what comes out that defiles. And then he goes on to describe a whole series of bad things, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, etc. And he goes on and describes these. These are actually part of the Ten Commandments. A number of these come right out of the Ten Commandments. So Jesus isn't against Moses. Jesus isn't doing away with the Levitical laws. He's actually supporting it against their traditions, which they were using to set aside some of the principles that God was teaching in the scripture.
Wow.
Wow, Reuben, I'm full. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that, Dr. Shepherd.
Well, as you can see, there's a lot that we can learn. And so if you want to learn more about the Bible beyond the format of the show, be sure to visit our Bible study resource site at hope.study. Or if you prefer to have free Bible study guides mailed to you, you can also call and leave us your address and we will get those to you right away. So we're going to take a quick break right now, but don't go away. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. We are here to answer your questions from the Bible, so send them in. You can call or text us at 833-BIBLE-HD or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or on our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk.
Our panelists answering your questions today are Pastor Andrea Jacobsons and Dr. Tom Shepherd. So Crystal, what's our next question?
Our next question, we receive a voicemail from Jeff.
I just wanted to, what the origin for baptism is, and what is acceptable from God's word for baptism, basically age and the way, method of baptism.
And Pastor Jacobson, we want to bring you in on this question. Can you help us out understanding the age, the method for baptism, please?
Yes, wonderful question, which really is asking, okay, why we do baptism, when, and how. So how, the Bible talks about doing this by immersion, and there are different examples, but we can think about Jesus, for example. He's baptized by John the Baptist. He goes all the way into the water, and then it says it comes out of the water. The same thing, for example, with Philip when he's baptizing the eunuch. It says that he comes out of the water, and there are other examples as well. When? It is a believer's baptism. This is how most people refer to it as. And we can read Acts 2:38, where it says that Peter is speaking and he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Well, it's saying that what's required is a repentance, asking, giving that heart to Jesus. And so that means that a person has to be aware that they are doing this, that they are giving their life to Jesus. They're asking for forgiveness, which excludes babies. But then as into age after that, it doesn't say. So it really is about a personal conviction. I have a little girl that I just baptized. Well, little, she's probably in fourth grade now. And she, her mom would say that she knew that she wanted to be baptized since she was 4 years old, right? And she would talk about it and it never left her. This was just something that she always wanted to do. And she waited a little while, but she knew that she wanted to give her life to God. So there is really no specific age that it has to happen in. And for why, we can again see the examples that we have seen in Jesus, where Jesus didn't have to get baptized. But he got baptized to show, to make this public, make it public that he is committed to God. and the same way we do it. But he does have a conversation about baptism with Nicodemus, and I just want to turn there. This is in John 3, and in verse 3, he's speaking to him. This is one of the religious leaders, and he tells him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And then Nicodemus says, "Well, how can someone be born when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb." And then Jesus answers, says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit." So Jesus is saying, this is about being born again. Baptism is this realization that I want a new life. And in that sense, I am being born again because I'm giving myself to a God who can make me new because I choose to repent and give my life to him.
Wow. Thank you so much for that, Pastor Jacobson, for clarifying that, because I know that could be a little tricky, especially for those of us growing up and being baptized. Thank you so much for that. Dr. Shepherd, we want to bring you in on this question. Can you provide some insight when it comes to baptism?
Yes. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, Paul describes baptism. He says, he asks a question that some people were trying to say against him. He says, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? That's verse 1. And he says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So baptism is about connection with Jesus, being linked up with him in his death. It's really interesting what Paul teaches here in Romans 6 is that we have died to sin as a master, so that we can fight sin as an enemy. And that's the central teaching of this chapter. We have died to sin as a master, and that's what happened in baptism. When we are baptized, we die to sin. It's not that we don't have a struggle with sin anymore. We do. But the struggle with sin is now we can fight it as an enemy. And so baptism is a very important rite of passage of when we move from Satan's side to Jesus' side. And we're linked up with him, and now we fight Satan as we move towards eternal life.
Wow. Reuben, I heard connection with Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shepherd, for clarifying that and providing some insight on that as well.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into our next question that came to us via email from Ron. And it says, I have a dear friend that tells me that it is not necessary to keep the commandments because Jesus' death and resurrection did away with the law of Moses and ushered a new season of the law of Christ. How should I respond? Well, I'm going to start with you here, Dr. Shepherd. It seems like we have a friend here of the show that is wondering how he or she can use the Bible to answer this question on, was the law eradicated after Jesus died and rose from the dead, or where are we with this?
Well, the quick answer is no, the law is not done away with. But I would just add a few things. One is, I don't think it's ever good to argue with people. You never win an argument. Mm. You can share your beliefs, you can share your faith and what the scriptures say, but it's not a good idea to argue with them. Now, what do the scriptures teach about the law of God? Well, in Romans 7, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, so the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. So Paul didn't think of the law as something bad. In Romans 8, starting in verse 4, he says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So it's pretty clear there that what Paul is saying is that keeping God's law is pleasing to God. Mm. So all through the New Testament, we have various passages that repeat the Ten Commandments and give us information about them. We're told that Jesus kept the Sabbath And we have other commands that Paul refers to and everything. So no, not done away with. So what was done away with at the cross?
Yes.
Well, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 gives a nice description of this. And the apostle says in Colossians 2:14 that by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. So what was nailed to the cross was not the law. Mm. It was our debt of sin. Mm. And that died with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 20, 21, verse 21 says that Christ became sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we're actually set free from the penalty of sin by the death of Jesus. It doesn't do away with God's law. Now we're going to fight sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law. So to do away with God's law would be to do away with sin. And that that's a dangerous position to take.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Shepherd. In pointing us this direction, I just love how it was seen that what was nailed to the cross was our debt, and that Jesus is our example, that he also kept the law. Thank you so much for guiding us in this direction, Dr. Shepherd, to answer these questions, as well as you, Pastor Jacobson. Thank you so much to both of you for being here and guiding us through these answers.
Thanks for watching. Remember to continue to send in your questions. Call us, text us, follow us on our social media accounts on Facebook, Instagram. I also want to encourage you to check out our webpage at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. And also don't forget to check out our YouTube account where you can see answers to previously asked questions. Bye.
Take care.